Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, and I'm reading the first 12 verses and then skipping to verse 16 and reading through verse 20. Luke chapter 10. Let me just say a couple of things first about this passage of scripture. This particular story is followed by where Jesus really is rejected. And there are those who want to follow him, but frankly, they think they have more important things to do. And so Jesus, you know, says, well, they're not going to be following me because, frankly, I come first. And then there is this story of Jesus calling and commissioning this large group of 70. Luke 10. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in that same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its street and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off in protest against you. We know this, the kingdom of God has come near to you. I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name, even the demons submitted to us. And he said to them, I watch Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, for this his word to us, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. All of us are here this morning because Christ has called us to himself, hasn't he? Christ has done things for us that we could not have done for ourselves. Christ has made us members of his family. We are part of the kingdom of God. We are under the reign of God. And because we are in Christ, we have received so many gifts from Christ. All of us in this place could share stories of how God has blessed us and of gifts that we have received. Everyone here could share stories of how God has brought peace to their life, even in turbulent times. And each of us could share stories of times of joy, and we know it was because Christ lived in us. And the reality is, you and I know that our lives are very, very purposeful because we live in Christ. We have received these gifts and many other gifts, and you know that. Our gospel reading this morning, though, from Luke, reminds us that those who are called by Christ are also commissioned by Christ. Jesus sent out the 70, a much larger number than that original 12 disciples that he first brought around himself. And Jesus commissions these 70 to do the very same things that he has done in the world. Jesus is almost at the end of his ministry. His eyes are already focused on Jerusalem. He knows what is in store. But he sends those 70 out, and frankly, he had intended that all of those places they went to, he would have been there or was going to as well. He sends them out. They are to heal and to teach. They are to preach. But the reality is, he says, I never do that by myself. No. From the very beginning of his ministry, he commissioned people. He called those 12 and then others and these 70 to do the same work that he did. Christ does not work alone. His mission is a cooperative mission. Those who follow him, he commissions and they work with him. He does not work alone. Think just briefly of all the wonderful good gifts that Christ has given you. Our gospel reading, though, forces us to think about all the good gifts, all the good things that Christ has given us, and that we, in turn, are to give to the world, that we, in turn, are to give to others. So with that in mind, I have a question. What gift has Christ given you, or what gifts has Christ given you, not just to enrich your own life, but given you so that you might bless the lives of others? Have you thought about that? What are those gifts that you have, that I have, that are not just for ourselves to enrich our lives, but are there so that we may indeed enrich others? Where do you think Christ has commissioned and sent you to work in his name? Jesus gives the 70 difficult work to do in the world. They are not to burden themselves with a lot of baggage. They are even, he tells them, to expect rejection. And they should expect resistance. The same kind of resistance that Jesus received. The 70 receive a tough warning. Jesus says that in them God's reign is near, but the reality is there are many who will not want to hear it or receive it. I suspect here at Second Church that you do what happens at worship in probably every church in the Synod of Mid-Atlantics and the Synod of New York, where at least where I'm in the pulpit Sunday after Sunday, the Lord's Prayer is recited. And in that prayer we say, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In these very ordinary people, those 70 people that Christ sent out, They were called to do extraordinary things. The reign of God was being experienced by those who they touched through healing, through hearing the word. The petition in the Lord's Prayer, lo and behold, is being fulfilled by them. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is happening as they heal and teach. And the 70 realize that, for we read they return home back to Jesus with great joy. Joyful that they had what? Witnessed the power of God through them. They had witnessed the reign of God in others' lives. And that took visible form through their ministry. These followers of Jesus, these 70, and the work that they did were a sign to the world of what God is up to in the world. In fact, Jesus goes so far as to say, whoever rejects one of these commissioned workers rejects him. They have huge faith, huge responsibilities. It was placed upon them by Christ himself, the Lord of the harvest. And God had not only commissioned these 70 workers, but he also gave them the power to do that work, that ministry. The Church of Jesus Christ that you and I are a part of, the body of Christ, we are in the world. And the reality is that you and I need to be doing the very same work that Jesus did. One of the great responsibilities of the church is to, in the words of the Apostle Paul, to equip the saints. We are to give each other in the fellowship that we are a part of. We are to give each other insights and skills and faith to be engaged in the ministry that Christ has given us. And today's gospel is a snapshot of a great pageant that frankly continues right here at Second Church. In your worship, you engage in major means of equipping saints, equipping each other with the gospel. And God uses the scriptures and he uses the message for the day to summon us to be about Jesus' work in the world. And that's very positive. Yet the reality is, let's admit it, it is very demanding because we are going against the stream of the culture and society that you and I live in. It is a demanding word for us contemporary followers of Jesus. Jesus calls us and he commissions each of us to do where we are at his work. He doesn't do it alone. It's now more than 15 years ago that I visited a cousin of mine who lived in Texas. I suspect most of you know I grew up north of Holland, Michigan, and this cousin grew up in Hudsonville, Michigan, and ended up in Texas. I visited him because of all of the cousins. I was the only cousin who knew that he was dying of AIDS. And I wanted to visit him before he passed away. I knew that his brothers and even his parents did not know that he was dying of AIDS. So when I got to the house, I rang the doorbell, and the door, no one came to the door. And I thought, oh my, has he gone to the hospital? But within a couple of minutes, the door opened, and there standing before me was an older woman. I suspect she was kind of my age, maybe even a little older, pushing 75 or 80, but definitely an older person. And she said in her Texas accent to me, "Come on in, come on in. I'm sorry you had to wait so long at the door, but I was helping your cousin with his shower this morning. Quite honestly, he's been looking forward to your visit." And wow, there I was in the living room with her. A 75, 80-year-old woman who's not even a relative of mine or of my cousin Jean. And she is helping him take a shower. Wow. I knew they were members of the same church. That I did know. And as I stood there, I thought of the experience that Moses had at the burning bush, and I wanted to do the very same thing. I wanted to take my shoes off in that house because I realized in her presence I was standing on holy ground. It was holy ground. That day, the rain of God came right there in my presence. And I know of no other explanation for what I witnessed of this elderly woman reaching out in love and compassion. It was, in my opinion, a miracle. An undeniable, visible sign that Jesus, what Jesus said was true, and that Jesus' kingdom building work was going on right there at 38 West Elm Street. And Jesus continues, let's be clear about it, Jesus continues to call ordinary people like us to do some extraordinary things in his name. And when we obey, when we go where he sends us, even though it's way out of our comfort zone, when we do that, the reign of God has come near us. One more thought. For us Americans, this weekend is our celebration of our national independence. And freedom and independence are noble virtues. I know that. Yet, in today's gospel reading, it moves us to celebrate different sets of virtues. In today's gospel reading, we celebrate dependence on Christ. Not independence, but we celebrate that we are dependent on Christ. We celebrate that we are obedient to Christ. And we celebrate that we are yoked in service with Christ. And quite honestly, I say it even on this 4th of July weekend, this celebration, those are far greater virtues than freedom and independence. Second Church, you have been called and you have been commissioned And you need to step out to the plate. You need to reach out to each other in love and compassion and care. And you need to continue to reach out beyond your fellowship to people you don't even know, and frankly, you'll never meet. This seems to me to be one of the fruits of Christian discipleship that extends beyond the bounds of the Christian faith. And what happens? It affects the culture that we live in. And that's what we are to do. It has an effect, can have a positive effect on our communities, the communities where we live, and society as a whole. He sent out 70 very ordinary people who frankly didn't have the whole story. We don't either. But he sends us out. He sends you out. So when we leave here today, realize and know you have been called by Christ and you are commissioned to do what he does, because he does not work alone. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have entrusted us with so great a work, and we know it's eternal work. Forgive us, for we forget that so quickly. And far too many times our kingdom work ethic is far from acceptable. Please give us what we need to do the work that you call and commission us to do. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.